Please turn with me to the book of John. The book of John. And once you get to the book of John, you're going to come with me to the 15th chapter. In the meantime, I'm trying to race y'all to get this scripture up on my device as well. But if you don't know, or maybe this is your first time reading a Bible, or you're not very familiar with your Bible, if you have a physical Bible, there is a table of contents. There's a table of contents in the front of the Bible. Turn to that table of contents, and you'll see Old and New Testament sections. Once you're there, go to the New Testament section. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. Go to John, go to that page number, and then go to the big number 15, which is the chapter, John 15. And then once you're there, we're going to go to the little number 5, which is verse 5. When you have it, say amen. If you still need some time, say wait a minute. Wait a minute. Yes, I said that for myself. I'm going to go ahead with John, the 15th chapter. The sermon's actually going to come from verses 1 through 8, but in the interest of time, we're going to read verse 5. And I'll read it out of the Christian Standard Bible Version. You will find similar words printed in your text. Book of John, 15th chapter, the 5th verse, reads as follows. It says, I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. The title of this sermon is a bit of a challenge to this verse. The title of this sermon is what many people are asking, and it is as follows: what do we need Jesus for? What do we need Jesus for? We just got done singing this song, without God, I can do nothing. So, I'm going to present to you a dilemma. I'm going to present to you a problem. A lot of us can do things without Jesus. What you mean? So John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches, right? We just read it. Says that you can do nothing without me, right? We're on the same page, right? Now, here's something interesting. Just jumping to Galatians, the 5th chapter, 22nd verse, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, right? This is fruit of the Spirit, right? This is what we're supposed to be doing, you know, this is what we're supposed to have as Christians, right? Here is the problem. Do any of you know some atheists that love people? Do any of you know some Muslims that have a lot of joy? Hello? You know, Buddhists can be very peaceful. Matter of fact, that's kind of what their religion is based on, right? So we got a problem, y'all. Because I personally know people who are very patient, very kind, and have nothing to do with Jesus. So we just read this verse about, that we can do nothing without him. We just sang the song, right? But there's some of us that really can't reconcile that because they know somebody who's very faithful to their wife. They just don't believe in Jesus. There's some people that don't believe in Jesus that have excellent self-control, better than some Christians. So in their eyes, again, what do we need Jesus for? Because I'm sorry to say, but it is the truth, and we have to reconcile with it. You can be a quote-unquote good person without this. I said quote-unquote. There's people that are very good people, and you know them by name. They are good people. They don't believe not one word of this. So again, what do we need Jesus for? And so this is the question we're going to be answering today. Now, I know, of course, you know, some of us, have the typical answers, right? You need Jesus to go to heaven. You need Jesus to forgive you of your sin, right? We've got that covered, right? Okay. What else? And what happens is most Christians don't know how to answer that question. So what happens then, further from that, is yes, Christians come to Jesus because they want to go to heaven. Yes, Christians come to Jesus because they want their sins forgiven. But Jesus don't do nothing else in their life. Because again, what do you need Jesus for? What do you need him to do, specifically him, that your life coach can't do for you, that your best friend can't do for you? What do you specifically need Jesus for that nobody in this world can do? Yes, we've got salvation. Yes, we've got heaven. What else? That is the point of this scripture today. And this scripture, it's a familiar passage to many Christians. It's talking about, it's one of the I am statements. Jesus talking about how he is the true vine. Now, before we get into what the scripture says, we have to understand the imagery, because this is something that the Jews of that day would have understood clearly. But some of us, if we haven't really been around a farm or done any agriculture, we may not know. So this is a grapevine. Now, this is, I just want you to understand, vines, it's not just grapes that grow on vines, right? You have watermelons, tomatoes, you have a whole lot of fruits that grow on vines. But for this sermon, and most likely what the Jews were talking about in this, was a grapevine. And so when we talk about that, this is a vine, right? This is the thing coming out of the ground. Okay, the trunk, if you want to call it that, but, trees have trunks. It's not a tree. It's a vine. And then you have branches, right? So the vines, they grow, and then they have branches that come out of the vine. We on the same page? And then out, so the vine is growing and supplying the branch, supplying all of these nutrients and whatnot to the branches, and the branches are the ones that are creating the fruit. So I want us to all understand this, because when Jesus is talking about this, they knew this. But I want to make sure that we're on the same page. Can I keep going? Okay. So with this imagery, this is what Jesus says. He says, I am the true vine, John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce, let's all say it, fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. Okay. Verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. Okay. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. There was a word we repeated over and over and over again, and that word was fruit. So if we're reading this passage and we're looking at the image of this vine, the goal is to produce fruit. Let's not even get religious for a second. Just a regular gardener that's growing a vine. The goal of doing that is to produce the fruit. That's literally why the vine and the branches and the whole setup, that's what the gardener is doing, is the goal is to produce fruit, right? Okay. So then, in order to produce fruit, it needs to be connected to the vine, right? If you are not connected to the vine, you don't produce fruit. We're on the same page? So again, it is impossible to produce fruit if not connected to the vine. If I go outside and get a little stick, that stick will never produce fruit because it's not connected to the life source. We're on the same page, right? Okay. And again, this is where Jesus is going. The goal is to produce fruit. It's impossible to produce fruit from him, right? But again, now we have to start asking questions. Okay, so what is it about this fruit that we're supposed to produce? What is it? We're getting there. Now, here is the groundbreaking truth. It is so obvious, but it's a groundbreaking truth. You ready? We said that it is impossible to produce fruit if not connected to the vine, right? Since it is impossible, if we can do it without the vine, it's not the fruit the gardener is looking for. Ooh, I'm gonna say that one more time. It's impossible to produce fruit apart from the vine, right? Since it is impossible, if there is something that we can do without Jesus, it's not the fruit that the Father is looking for. What in the world does that mean? I love our musicians, but did you realize that it is possible to play music, even Christian music, without being a Christian? Did you know that? All you got to do is just follow the chords and follow the melody. I know this. You do not need to be connected to Jesus to play even Christian music. Hello? Did you know that you can be disconnected from Jesus and still preach? It's possible. It's possible. We call them false prophets. It's easy for me to get up and talk about health and wealth and how God's going to do miracles if you just bless me with your miracle. That's easy to do. It's happening all across America right now, today. It's very possible to do that. Y'all realize that, right? How many people want St. John to grow? Raise your hands. Hands all over the room. Do you realize that it's easy to grow without Jesus? How? Let me give you just a real simple strategy. This will get youth and young adults in next week. Y'all ready? Pay them. That's it. Pay them. I'm dead serious. Let's make up three or four positions. You know, somebody be a marketing media type of person, and somebody else can do something else, and somebody else can be a greeter and whatnot, and just make sure, you know, we pay them a good, you know, maybe 25 an hour or something like that, depending on how long we're here. They'll be here next week. I mean, immediately, 10 youth, 10 young adults, next week they will be here, I promise you, if you pay them. Ta-da, church growth.
Yeah, let me give me the other one. Uh-oh. I'm getting all excited and beat up my mic. Amen. It's very easy to do Christian things without Jesus. Y'all see what I'm saying, right? But here's the thing. If we can do it without Jesus, then that's not what the Father is even looking for. What do you mean? That means that if you can copy just playing music, the fruit that the Father is looking for is not for you to play music. The fruit the Father is looking for is not simply for me to preach. The fruit that the Father is looking for is not simply for more people to show up. Because I can do all of these things without Jesus. And if the word is true, and the word says that I can do nothing without Jesus, the things that I am doing without Jesus are not fruit. And this is a deep and important truth, because so many of our churches are doing Jesus things without Jesus. We haven't even gotten to the world yet. We haven't even gotten to working. We haven't even gotten to our family life. We haven't even gotten to our relationships yet. I'm talking about something that's obviously Christian. You can do these things without Jesus. And if you can do these things without Jesus, by definition, it's not the fruit that God wants. Why am I saying this? Sometimes we are so happy that people come to church. We're so happy that people are participating, and we're not even checking on their relationship with Jesus Christ. We think everything is fine because they come or watch online on Sundays. We think everything is fine because they say they're a member of so-and-so church. We think everything is fine because they know a couple of answers in here, but it's not the fruit that God is looking for, because it can be copied by somebody who is not connected to Jesus. See, playing music can be simply entertainment. That can be copied. You know what can't be copied? Is worship. There's a difference between entertainment and worship. A lot of us talk about how these people's voices are anointed. No, they're just talented. There's a difference. Stop calling things that are talent anointing. These people, some of these people don't even know Jesus. Some of these people are into different religions and witchcraft and whatnot. But because they can sing Amazing Grace so well, we are saying that they're anointed and that God is using them. Stop doing that. Stop saying that every preacher that preaches something convincing, he gave me a word from the Lord. No, the preacher knows how to give you a word. But what can't be copied is when God is actually talking to them. That can't be copied. That can't be faked. That can't be mimicked. Yes, there are some very convincing preachers, and I tell you this because I want you to analyze me, analyze my teachings. You don't have to take everything I say just because I said it. Analyze it, compare it to the word, and check to see if these things are so. I'm telling you to check, because a false prophet can come in here and say anything, and as long as he uses the right word and the right verbs and makes the right metaphors and similes and allegories and allusions, then everybody want to say that he's blessed. But it's not true. Members coming in, we want to say that it's church growth is definitely fruit. But I remember the late Reverend Scott, he told me, he said, the question is not how many members are coming in your church. The question is how many members are going out. I said, what does that mean? He said, anybody can come to church, but who's going out and doing what the Lord says? Who's going out and touching people for Jesus Christ? Who's going out and actually living a changed life? Anybody can come in the church. Anybody can come up and say that they're Christian. Anybody can come up and participate and be in activities, but who's going outside after this service ends and actually living what the word says? Who's actually doing it? We can get prayer here, and yes, we love to pray for each other, but who's actually praying when you leave this service? Yes, we say we love you here, but who actually loves when you leave the service? If we can do it without Jesus, it's not the fruit that the Father is looking for. I want to be clear on this. It does not always mean that it's bad. Playing music in itself is not a bad thing. Coming to church by itself is not a bad thing. But the important thing that you need to know is that it is not enough. It is not enough. Because the Father wants fruit that only the Son can do. And again, let's get back to this fruit, because we keep talking about this fruit. Why do we need Jesus anyway? What is all of this for? What is all of this vine and branches and whatnot? What is all of this for? Again, let's stop being religious for a second. Let's just talk about a regular gardener who's got a vine. What is that gardener building that vine up for? What is that gardener doing all this pruning for? What is the gardener focusing on the branches and the fruit? What is that gardener actually doing? Not religious yet. We're not getting religious yet. Just real practical. What is the point? What is the point? The point of the gardener doing this, having this vine, right? We're not getting religious yet, just regular. The point of the gardener doing what they are doing to get this fruit is to sell it. And for the gardener to maybe just enjoy the fruit themselves. That's the point. The gardener wants to get paid. It's a business. It's a business. The gardener is growing grapes not because it looks pretty, not because the gardener just wants to brag, but the gardener is growing grapes so that they can be sold and so that that gardener can make some money. The gardener is trying to get paid. Now, some of y'all already jumping the gun. Oh, so God just wants our money. Uh-uh. God doesn't need your money. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, right? This whole universe is his, right? What are we going to give to him that he doesn't already own? So it's not about money. What the gardener wants is to get paid in praise. That is the thing that we have that we can give to the gardener. But not only does the gardener want to get paid, quote unquote, in praise, the gardener also enjoys fruit too. What you mean? The whole point of what we do ought to be to glorify God. Psalm 34 says, taste and see. 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. How are people going to taste and see that the Lord is good? By our fruit. So if we give them the right fruit, they should be able to taste it and glorify God, who is the giver of this fruit. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and do what? Give glory to your Father in heaven. So you don't just light up a room just so people can see you, but the whole point of you doing what you do is so that the glory can go to God. He gets paid in praise. 1 Corinthians 10:31. These are theme scriptures of our church, by the way. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything to the what? Glory of God. The whole point, and this is what we need Jesus for, the whole point is that we need to glorify God in what we do. That is the thing that cannot be copied. That is the thing that cannot be faked. If we glorify God, if we truly glorify God in what we do, that is what we need Jesus for. We need Jesus, no, not necessarily to play the piano, maybe not necessarily to play the drums, but we need Jesus for it to be worship that is pleasing to God. Maybe we don't need Jesus to preach. Maybe, Reverend Burks, maybe we don't. But for it to be a word from the Lord and not a word from us, it needs to involve Jesus. He has to make it happen. Maybe we can grow this church without Jesus, but if we want a healthy church, that is a church that is the body of Christ, a church that Christ is that is the bride of Christ, we need Jesus for a healthy, growing church. Because otherwise, everything we're doing is fruitless. And if we play music without giving God any credit, if we're doing the tech team just because we're here for a check, if we're coming to church because it's a Sunday and that's what we're supposed to do, and you're doing it without God, God will eventually remove those branches. And all of it turns into firewood. You need Jesus to glorify God in what we do. We want them to taste and see that the Lord is good. Not that we're good, but that the Lord is good. There was a thing that was brought up as I'm getting ready to close. He said, if the Holy Spirit removed himself from the early church, 99% of what happened in Acts would never have happened. But this minister noted, if the Holy Spirit removed himself from today's church, 99% of everything that we do would keep right on happening. That's not good, y'all. We need, if we want to be a Spirit-filled church, we need Jesus. We need to glorify God in everything we do. This is why we preach the gospel. Because the gospel is not about our goodness. It's about the goodness of the Lord. The gospel is not about how we turned our lives around and how we started going to church and how we quit getting drunk and getting high and how we decided to settle down with one wife or one husband and how we decided. The gospel is about Jesus Christ, who went and died on that cross because we sinned and fell short of his glory. The gospel is about Jesus Christ, the true vine, himself getting the punishment that we all deserved. And he was crucified on that cross and he was buried. But on that third day, he rose again with all power in his hand. Somebody said that for Jesus to be the true vine, he has to be living. So Jesus has to be alive, and Jesus is alive, and that's the reason why we are alive for those of us who are in him. So again, the final question is this. What do we need God for? What do we need Jesus for? It's to glorify God in what we do. Just remember that we are in the fruit-bearing business. It is our job to bear fruit. It is not our job to entertain people. It is our job to bear fruit. Fruit that people will consume and wonder who got this fruit going. Fruit that will lead people to the gardener, Jesus. Since we are in the fruit-bearing business, let's get him paid. Let's get him paid. Let's make sure our fruit is such that people are glorifying him for what he is doing, not you, for how good you are. Let's get him paid. And this is where the motto of glorify God among the people comes from, because we're glorifying God among the people so that the people may glorify God. That's always been the point. It's always been the point. So I'm challenging you, if all you've done is come to church because it's something you're supposed to do, if all you've done is read your Bible and participate in different things because you feel like that's what makes you good, I'm telling you, you are not bearing fruit. You are not bearing fruit. What bears fruit
is when you are doing these things to lead others to Christ, and when you're doing these things for Jesus alone. That's what bears fruit. Atheists can love. I know gay couples right now that love each other very deeply, but that love cannot be the love that glorifies God. It can't be. I know Muslims that have a lot of joy. And that's wonderful that they have joy, but that joy in and of itself does not glorify God. That joy that they would share to others does not glorify our God. There's some Buddhists that are very peaceful, but if they shared with you about that peace is all about them. And it does not give any glory to God. We are different because the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All of these are for the glory of God. They advertise the glory of God. When you control yourself and you don't pop off at the mouth of people because they disrespected you, it shouldn't be because you're so good and you're so kind. It's because God changed you. And that's why you're calm in the midst of a storm. That's why you have hope for tomorrow. It's because you trust in God. We're in the fruit-bearing business. Let's get him paid.